Well, let's have prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, I thank you so much for each one of the ladies that's here today. Father, we thank you for children. We thank you for fathers. Lord, we ask that you would especially be with Pastor as he speaks with fathers and children this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would be with those children that their fathers are not here, or maybe their fathers have gone to heaven, or they're not with them any longer. I pray that you would strengthen each one of these women. But Lord, please help Pastor this morning and help me to communicate what you would like us to accomplish this morning. And Lord, our hearts are, we just pray for those that are not with us this morning, that you would strengthen, that you would help. And I thank you that you are with us, Lord, till the ends of the earth. Strengthen those missionary families that are away from us, members of our church that are not here this morning. I pray that you would strengthen each and every one. Father, I pray that you would draw a closeness to our church, a unity around the Word of God. We thank you so much for Christ and for what he has done for us on the cross and finished the work of salvation. And now, Lord, I pray that you would draw each one of us closer to you and that we would become more like you and that others would be drawn to the Lord Jesus as a result of what you do in our lives. May we share the gospel with others. May we encourage believers. Lord, just bless our time together this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you might hear some of these things twice because I might share a little bit about, I will share a little bit about hungry, but maybe not a lot. And Pastor might tell you some of the same things, and he maybe has already said some of the same things. But let me just share a blessing, first of all, from hungry. And I think Pastor may have already mentioned this to you. But it was such an encouragement to see the work of God in the lives of the church. And it was such a blessing as we had a meeting after the anniversary service, just people gathered at Pastor Ola's home and meeting someone who had been saved in January and around that time and someone a little after, and see them busy for the Lord and loving the Lord and growing, Bible studies still being done. And then also the young ladies that were saved, what a blessing because of the real glow and love for Christ that you could see upon their whole countenance, upon the way they dressed, the way they conducted themselves. They were just really had the joy of the Lord. And each of them go to a public school, and that is a great challenge. I mean, you just can't imagine. The young ladies that I talked to in their school, they both went to the same school. Oh, I asked them how big this one particular class was. I mean, it was a large school, but their particular class, it was like 20. And many of the young ladies were, you know, maybe some that were had become pregnant. And then the immorality in the schools and the dress in the schools. And it's really quite amazing what they've come out of. In fact, the one young lady, Biborka, who got saved, I think it was in September, her father had gotten saved, and then I think it was a week later at a ladies' meeting, both her mother and Biborka got saved. Biborka was a young lady that cut herself, and she couldn't really walk without help. Her parents had to help her. I don't think she had gone to school for 2 years because of her sickness. And she would tell you, she was very rebellious. Well, the Lord has just transformed her life. She got saved. She was changed, and she really loves the Lord Jesus. And she began to dress like a Christian there in those schools. And they've never seen anything quite like it, except for Lydia also. Dresses very distinctively, believes in the distinction between men and women. And when she wore dresses to school, Biborka was Food was thrown at her. Some of the young ladies took a fashion magazine and handed it to her and said, you need to read this. And when her pastor went to bat for her, so to speak, and talked to the headmaster, they said, well, she's not like everybody else. In other words, she should become like everyone else. But of course, before she got saved, she was cutting herself. She was rebellious. She was on her way to hell. And she had no hope. So it's wonderful to see what the Lord is doing there. And we just thought we'd look at a few things this morning from the Word of God about just, I don't know, we'll run out of time. There's a lot in my heart that it's like, sometimes I have a hard time just organizing it to give it to you, you know. So there's more, I'm sure there's just so much more that could be said, but we'll try to get something. I mean, there's always something in the Bible. So I pray that we can communicate that, which would encourage you. What causes, some of the first statements on there, what causes degeneration? We're not going to answer the questions right now. We're just going to think about it. And as we study, we'll think back about it. What causes degeneration or spiritual decline in my life? What is it that causes that? What are keys to getting back on the right path? Now, key elements in understanding a victorious life with God. First, we're going to kind of look at some of the negative. So let's turn to Psalm 9:17, please. Any questions or comments, ladies, don't hesitate to raise your hand or comment. I'd be glad to hear from you. I'm sorry that the scripture isn't actually in the text. Then you could be circling or whatever, some key words. But if you don't mind circling or underlining in your Bible, you may want to do that. So Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Would you agree, that our nation is probably in the state it's in today in such a spiritual decline because we've forgotten God? When you forget God and he's not in our schools generally anymore, and and we legislate him sometimes out of church, out of, the community, but out of our schools, what do we have? I mean, he is that which is eternal. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, we haven't made God our Lord. So a nation that forgets God. Heather, would you read that verse again, please?
The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God.
That's quite a statement. So I have to think, now, Lord, I don't want to forget you. I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 18 years old. Now, Lord, don't let me follow the example of the world around me that's forgetting God. Jesus loved the people of the world, but God hates the world system. Remember, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world. John 2:15-17. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Did I miss something? No, I think that's it. That 2:15-17. Okay. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. He loved the people of the world. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loved Adam and Eve. He created them to have fellowship with him and to walk with him. But how soon, they forgot about God when the devil cast that thought into Eve's mind. Hath God said? Or God knows that if you take that fruit, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of, there. If you take that fruit, you're going to be like God's, knowing good and evil. Well, there was so much more. He took a little bit of scripture, he took some scripture and twisted it around. And so she kind of, she started to forget about God and what he had told her, and she disobeyed and she took of it. So whenever we get off, the path of getting off and forgetting what God says, forgetting his word, our nation forgetting God, what can I, what can I do to stem the tide? Now, just ask yourself that question. What can I do? What can you and I do? Okay, now, another element in understanding a victorious life. Number one, we need to think. Don't forget God. I'm sorry, I'll get to number two in a moment, but, you know, don't forget His Word. He's revealed in His Word. Think of it, John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And what's the rest, lady? The Word. Yes. This book, how precious. We don't want to... We need to take time in it. You all know that. I know that. And if you know the Lord, you know how important the Word of God is. That's how He reveals His will to us. That's how He reveals His character to us, is in His Word. And so we don't want to forget God, and God is revealed in the Bible. Now, truth. A key element in understanding the victorious life of God is truth. Let's look. Turn to Isaiah 59:14. Oh, let's see. I'm in 60. No wonder. Okay, Isaiah 59:14. And judgment is turned away backward. Judgment. Okay. It's like, okay, if you're turned away backward and it's falling down, there's not really good judgment between right and wrong, okay? Judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off. There's no justice, is what the prophet is saying right here. And for truth is what, ladies? Truth is what? In the... streets. Truth has fallen in the streets, and equity, that which is equal, that which is right, fairness is cannot enter. It says truth has fallen in the streets. You know, it doesn't stand up. It's not what's ruling our everyday life. Now, unfortunately, in our nation, truth is not ruling. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God is truth. His Word is truth. But Isaiah is saying, for truth has fallen in the street. That would also typify America. It was many years ago that this fact became even more real to me. I had a problem with the car, and we had that AAA insurance at that time that you can call somebody and they come to help you. Well, I called them and said, we're sending somebody right out. And I called maybe 45 minutes later. Well, they're on their way. Or then they said something else. But really, I don't remember the exact details. It was so long ago. But they lied to me about 3 times. And I knew it was a definite lie because they weren't, it's not because they were coming from such a distance. They were... truth, and they were just not telling me the truth. Then I can remember picking up a magazine in a doctor's office and, if you're coming home from vacation and you're going to be home on Monday, it's okay to say you're going to be home on Tuesday. You need that time to rest. Did I say that right? Yeah, if you're coming home on Monday, but, it's okay to lie. So, you need your rest, so it's okay. Just lie about it, And those, lying is, truth is not really elevated like it was when our society was closer to God. When people, like the founding of our country, yes, there were things wrong in our founding fathers, but thank God for them, and thank God for the respect they had for God's Word. Thankfully, in our nation at one time, the Bible was used even in the schools. The Bible was read. I mean, you young ladies can probably, have any of you ever gone to a public school? Any of you? You've gone to public school in Florida, okay. And maybe there's more of a, sometimes there was more of a respect in the South at times, for the Bible and God. But do you ever remember a time when the Bible was revered in the public school? Now, in my lifetime, okay, way back when, in about fifth grade and sixth grade, I remember our teacher talking about, that's why, about the Lord and referring to God and how she did not like to have anybody, she always wanted to capitalize the pronoun for God, him or his. It was something to that effect because that always stuck with me. And so whenever I write, it's very hard for me to make a small H when I'm writing him and I'm referring to God because I'm speaking of the Lord, okay? But, and there were just, there was, but then when I graduated from high school, that was around fifth grade, when I graduated, the year after I graduated, things really started going, it wasn't because of my graduation, it's because the laws were changing in America. Wouldn't it be nice if it was all because of me? No, no, in my walk, no. But what I'm saying is the laws were changing in the land, the standards in the school went down, distinction between men and women was separated, and whatever you wanted to wear to school, you could wear, all of that type of thing, and then it's just gone down, down, down. But truth, you know, when we live in a society that does not have a high regard for truth, remember that phrase, more is caught than is taught. We have to be very careful of what we, of who we surround ourselves with and where we go and what type of thinking, what type of books we read, the type of friends we have, because we catch it. I mean, the TV, although we don't have one in our home, we used to at one point, but we don't now. The computers, I mean, you know, you cannot believe everything you read. What profound statement, wasn't it? You can, ladies, you can't believe everything you read. It's so true. In Jesus' time, remember the lies that were said about Christ? And some believed it. I mean, he was put on the cross, you know. And so we live in a very untruthful society in the highest realms, unfortunately, up to the very top of our country, the leader, the president, and the judicial system. And my husband is, he could tell you everything much better than I could. I just know it's true, you know. But really, it's just so, truth is not respected. And it's so easy for us to catch that. And that's why, I mean, I can't depend upon my heart to tell me truth. I need the word of God to be so in me that that's what's coming out of my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaketh. And so we need to make sure that inside is truth so that we can get back to truly walking with God. You know that familiar verse, John 14, 6. You can, Jesus said, I am the what? The way. Okay. I like to think of the way of life. He's the way to heaven. And he's the way of life. I am the way. I am the what? So get close to who? Walk with who? Yes. You ever been around a friend and you can just be around them a little while and then you start acting like them? You know, their expressions or like just, you know, you pick up things that they do. What if we just really, pardon this expression, you know, hung around the Lord all the time? And we should be because he lives, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ personally, he's in your heart. The Holy Spirit lives within. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? But when we don't obey his promptings, it's like we're not living in his presence, but he's always there. And so truth, it's so important. Be close to our Lord because there's all of these things of the world. What's the right word, Mrs. Roth? Inundating, how do you say that word? Just kind of clamoring at us for untruth. It's okay and all that type of thing. So really a victorious life with God involves living and walking in truth. Not forgetting about God in my daily life. Not forgetting about God when you're going to school or when you're working in the camp kitchen or you're cleaning the camp toilet. Or you're cleaning making a bed at camp. Or when I'm at home, you know, doing, well, I used to have the goats down by me, and so I take care of the goats, you know. So when I'm out taking care of the goats, or when I'm washing dishes, or what I would tell ladies, when you're peeling potatoes, you could be praying for somebody, like, who's going to eat this potato, you know, and just pray for them. Maybe you're having guests that day, you know. Or you hear about the burdens, you know. But blessed is that church, too. I mean, a church that prays together, a family that prays together. You've heard it. Stays together. So truth, not forgetting God. And then let's look at Judges 21:25, another familiar verse to us. funny, you know, when you're kind of like up here, you sort of forget, where's that in the Bible? You know, it's like, okay, where am I turning to? Okay, Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Remember, God had been there. God had wanted to have a theocracy. He wanted to rule Israel. Israel rejected that theocracy, theocratic rule of God. They wanted a king. Like who, ladies? Who did they want a king? Who had a king at that time? Pardon me? Other, but yes, we want what everybody else has. We want a king. Okay, so they didn't. They had rejected the theocracy of God, his ruling on earth. They hadn't gone into the land of Israel when they were supposed to because they had gone their own way. But in those days, there was no king in Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So even though a king wasn't the best thing for them either, a king did at one time bring some, you know, semblance of rule. There were good ones, there were bad ones in the future, as you know. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Why? I would like some answers here, okay? I'd like to hear from you. Why in America, why sometimes in our homes, why in my own life, okay, why is everybody doing that which is right in their own eyes? Why? Tell me some reasons, please. Pardon me? Sin, yes. Sin, that whole realm of the fall of mankind, the sin that's within our heart. We are sinners. We're not basically good, like the Victorian age said. Man's basically good, you know? No, we are sinners. That's our nature. It's the nature of a dog. What's the nature of our dog? She's a herding dog to buck, 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 and run after somebody. She doesn't bite them normally. I mean, she doesn't bite them, but she figures she's got to herd them in or could bring them into the house. You know, that's her nature. And we're not naturally good. Okay, thank you. Sin, yes, Sue, you were saying?
When Jesus isn't our king, we're not letting him be our king and we're not obeying him, then we do that which is right in our own eyes.
Yes, okay.
And so this understanding of the true holiness of God, how far above our morality he is.
Yes, we don't understand that true nature and holiness of God. And then all of that again is... anything, anybody else? Heather? Lack of the fear of God, yes. Melody? And that, excuse me, I want to hear what you have to say, but that one time in our teen camp out, those things, that list of things that we studied, the first thing in the list was, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then it goes on heady, high-minded, all that. But really, it stems from, I think the first thing was, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that really spoke to my heart. Selfishness, time to self down and put Jesus on the throne of my heart. Put that self down, you know, I die daily. Yes.
I think in America on a whole, there's a lot of things that contribute to it. One of them that's been really deeply in the culture now is evolution and just feeling there is no authority. And then being inundated with, it's all about pleasure. It's all about me being happy in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the media, everything constantly is telling everyone, it's basically still that old, if it feels good, do it, and tolerance, whatever. Mm-hmm. That is fun for you.
Mm-hmm. Right, we don't truly understand the nature of God, his holiness. The philosophies come through, and it just, you know, if we don't truly separate ourselves from sin, but that's not enough. We can't just say, I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not going to smoke, and I'm not going to drink, and I'm going to dress right, and I'm not going to do... You do all that and you don't draw nigh to God? No, that's just like man-made. Those things are proper and right to do, but not if it's separating. We all remember sanctification is setting ourselves away apart from sin and unto God. And so the fear of God, not being proud, all those things. But really, it's like that's why it's so important to be with the Lord and walk with Him. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Maybe there's somebody out there like me that I said for years I was saved. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I had a good church. I should have been saved when I was in third grade, which I said I was, but I hadn't been. So finally I knew that I couldn't go on any longer, that it was pride that was keeping me. I had read my Bible, I had prayed, and all those things, you know. But then I truly was born again. It is so important, you know, to get saved and spend time with God and be in the atmosphere. Pastor sometimes talks about the spirit of this age, you know. We need to flee the spirit of the age and listen to godly teaching and listen to godly counselors And you know, something might, I remember something Pastor Roberts preached years ago, and boy, I didn't understand it. But I accepted it, and then finally, I mean, I did what, you know, he was what he taught, and finally one day it hit me. I'm so thankful I didn't go, that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, I'm thankful I didn't, you know. But in this day and age, it said, do your own thing. You don't have to do what your husband says. You know, be your own woman, so to speak, whatever. You know all the key, you know, all the phrases. So anyways, don't catch the spirit of this age. We have the spirit of Christ. We need to develop that walk with him. So every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. But repentance in God's people. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Would you please read that, Christine? 2 Chronicles 7:14.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Really, where does the great responsibility lie for this nation to turn back to God? Where is it, ladies? Where is it? Pardon me? God's people. Individually and collectively. The church has more power. As each believer recognizes, you know, okay, Lord, what's missing in my life? What do I need to shore up? Et cetera, et cetera. What am I not willing to just, you know, maybe I have a right to do such and such, but I don't need to do that. That bothers somebody else, you know. If my people which are called by my name shall, what's the first one? Humble themselves. A spirit of humility. Is that typical of our age, humility? It's not typical of me. I don't always, you know, like to admit when I'm wrong. You know, humility. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. You know, going to somebody when we've done something wrong to them. Really being willing to admit it. You know, God can use that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Sometimes we think about the big sins or big things that are bad. But there's little things that can be divisive. You know, you've heard it, ladies. Unfortunately, we ladies sometimes, you know, it's the lady that put her tongue on the altar, you know, or something like that. You can't, you know, not really. But, you know, what I'm saying is if you give your mouth to the Lord, don't take it back, you know. But our mouth, being humble, listening to someone else, sometimes not saying, we don't have to always say everything we know either, you know. At any rate, humility. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and is the next one, pray, I'm not turned to it, I'm sorry, and pray, and turn from their wicked ways. Is that the next one? Pardon me? Maybe I should look at it. Okay, thank you. Yes. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, just like we talked about, you know, walking with God. Okay, seeking Him, seeking His word, and turn from their wicked ways. Now, isn't it interesting? One of the things, now I know we're sometimes jumping back and forth between saved and unsaved, believers and unbelievers, okay, but isn't it interesting that the things that turn people into hell, the nations that forget God, like as a whole, that nation, there'll be some that are saved, but, you know, it's going to go to hell, majority. But like there's that in Corinthians, first or second, it lists those things that this person shall not enter into God, this person, this thing, you know. And then it says, and the unbelievers. So something simple, you know, an unbelief of what God wants to do, an unbelief in the Lord, that can really, you know, give us an unvictorious life. Believe God and trust Him. There's some pretty rough things that knock at our doors. There's some pretty rough trials. Each of you have faced them. And if you haven't faced a really serious thing that's about ready to tear your heart out, you may have to someday. Maybe God will never call you to that particular type of a trial. But if He has, you may have experienced, you may have experienced that great wailing that sometimes has happened in the country of Africa when a loved one dies. There's no hope, maybe. And I remember feeling like that one time. That great hurt. But then you know, you focus on God, not the situation, not the problem. And when you're going through a trial, to see the faith of someone trusting in God, it's wonderful. So victorious life is, though, turning from our own way, humbling ourselves. I know the end times, it'd be worse and worse, but God still wants us to draw nigh to Him. He could bless us with a great turning to Him, you know, before He comes back. But if my people, which are called by my name, so repentance in my heart, What do you want, Lord? What do I need to turn over to you? And then that walking with God, Romans 6:1-4, not presuming on the grace of God, not saying, well, I'm a Christian and I can go ahead and kind of get by with this because God will forgive me. Okay. Romans 6:1-4. If we're saved and the Lord's living in us, we're going to want to please Him. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? I'd write the word down, continue, or I'd circle it. You don't have to write anything down on your paper. I would have circled it. If what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That we can just see God's grace abound. Remember the devil tempted Jesus, just throw yourself down, because His angels will give you charge over you and He'll pick you up. Or fall down and worship me and I'll give you all of this. But actually that other thing, you know, he'll lift you up. Don't test or tempt God. In His grace, He's blessed people that have gone against His will. There's usually many hurts with it. You know, King David, thank God for King David, but his family was really was torn apart, and there was fighting and there was all kinds of things, but God had mercy upon David. But when we are tempted to do something wrong, let's not think, well, God will forgive me. Maybe we don't actually think, well, you know, really strive to do what God wants. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So I would circle dead, you know, dead to sin. And after death, someday we're going to have a resurrection. And after death, Jesus was resurrected. We have resurrection power living within us. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And as we die to sin, you know, that life of Christ is manifested in our life. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death. Then like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We have a new life in Christ. But it doesn't come from us living in sin and hanging on to our old ways and not confessing our sin. Remember, if my people. And then the great power of the church in Acts chapter 2. That verse isn't on here, but Acts 2, 42, around there. I'll have to turn to it. Okay, Acts 2, 46 and 47. But we're going to go up to 42 anyways, okay? 42, 46, and 47.